And we all have our plans in our lives, right? My plan is to do X, Y, Z. So I think we all should have life and career plans, of course. But I think we should realize that plans are there so that we can adapt them, which I also say with marketing plans these days, right? Things are changing so fast. Like, why plan? It's like, we plan so we know what we're altering.
You're listening to The Stand-Up from Monday.com, where we talk to real leaders every episode to get their sharpest insights. So pleased to have Jackie Yaney with us at The Stand-Up. Jackie is the former CMO of Ellucian and Tableau, and she has over 20 years of experience working at the intersection of marketing and branding. She's also the founder of Brave Bets and the co-founder of the CMO Collaborative and is on the board for Plan International USA that promotes equity for girls worldwide. Thanks so much for joining us today, Jackie, on the show.
No, thank you for having me.
I'm really excited to dig in. You have such an amazing set of experiences. And I would love to start off with a story. You talk a lot about taking advantage of interesting or even crazy opportunities that people pose in front of you. I know you talk about it as kind of brave bets. I'd love to hear about a brave bet that you took.
The biggest one that changed my life that comes to my mind was I was working at the Boston Consulting Group. Delta Airlines was my client. The CFO in specific was the person I was working for, doing a lot of analysis, and there was a lot of e-commerce, Delta.com things. And 9/11 happens. And she asks me to leave BCG and come to work at Delta directly to help. Obviously, things were a pretty big mess. Felt like the right thing to do, even though I was about to be partner at BCG, which, yeah, when you're about to be partner, you don't walk away. Like, the CEO called me and he's like, what are you doing? The crazier part of it, she asked me to run consumer marketing. And I had not done any marketing yet in my career. I didn't even take a marketing class during business school. I thought it was all fluff and ridiculous. And why would I do that? I was very much an engineer. So I have an engineering degree and my business degree is from MIT. I was kind of known as a geek at BCG. And she said she had marketers, but she didn't have leadership. The marketers were very reactive. She didn't really understand where $600 million was going. So would I do it? And I did it and found my passion in life. And yeah, I've been doing it ever since. And it was like, it was something, she saw something in me that I didn't see in myself, you know?
That is a really inspiring story. I'm curious, when we talk about these crazy opportunities, how do you even recognize it? Because sometimes these things come out of left field and you're like...
Yes. And we all have our plans in our lives, right? My plan is to do X, Y, Z. So I think we all should have life and career plans, of course. But I think we should realize that plans are there so that we can adapt them, which I also say with marketing plans these days, right? Things are changing so fast. Like, why plan? It's like, we plan so we know what we're altering. But I think having that open mind, especially with people you look up to and respect, because they're the ones that tend to see something in you you might not.
It's really interesting now, I imagine, now that you've been a senior leader for some time, how do we as leaders, when we're leading teams, recognize those opportunities and match them to the right person on the team? How do you now flip the script and provide those crazy opportunities to people on your team?
I put a lot of effort to really understanding people as people and what their dreams and aspirations are and their gifts, not just kind of getting the job done, if you will. And I look for curiosity in people. It's understanding the people that you're leading truly as people, not just as workers on your team, so that when I see things, I have all these people in my mind. And I still do that now, even though I'm not leading teams of people, but I've got thousands of people floating around, some in the front of my mind, some in the back, that I just have my radar open.
You know, another thing that I've seen you speak about or write about is the importance of networking and kind of making sure that you're building a network. What role did that play in your professional development? What advice do you have for leaders maybe building a network from scratch?
I have a strong belief now that we need to view it as part of our career, that it's not like, when I had three small children, I'm like, I don't have time to be going to this networking event, right? But here was the aha for me. So when I was at Delta Airlines, so obviously the CFO had hired me. I worked for the CMO and I made the CFO promise me, like, if things go really bad, I need you to tell me, give me like a warning signal. She showed up one day and said, we're going to go bankrupt.
Wow. That is one warning signal.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm going to be out of here within a month. I think your boss is going to be out of here within a month. Wow. You better start looking for a job. Okay. I didn't have a network. I was working 12 hours a day. I thought I was personally saving the airline. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I don't know anyone outside Delta Airlines or BCG in Atlanta. And didn't, no notion of moving, because again, the three kids were small. And that starting from zero, that is rough. And so I started then, but it took me months to even kind of really get going and get connections for jobs, because still jobs come more from connections than any sort
100%.
Of, you know. And then I just made a promise to myself that I'm not going to let that happen to me again. I'm one of those people, like I make little deals with myself. Like I will do at least one networking event a month. I will do at least three career mentoring coffees or lunches with me as the mentor, not the other. Anyway, just I kind of make these guideposts so that I don't feel guilty one way or the other as the mom or the, you know, of how I'm spending my time. A lot of the networking, like you feel like it's never going to come back around to you sometimes. You know, you're like, oh, is this really worth it? But during COVID, my youngest son got stuck in Peru.
Oh, wow.
And closed the border indefinitely. And I'm like, okay, hope is not a strategy. I need to do something. And I won't bore you with the details, but it was my network that got him out.
Wow, amazing.
And we got him and his fellow students out within a week. This was why I built my network. It wasn't even for my job. It was to genuinely get my son out of Peru.
I think that's such an important story, because so many times we approach networking or development as like this linear thing. I've got to go up the title. I've got to build this network. I've got to get the next job. And it's also about the other aspects of life. I think one of the things that strikes me about when we're speaking right now is you're very goal-oriented, which I think is very amazing and very inspiring to many people. You know, a lot of times when we're working on teams and trying to motivate teams or motivate managers, we're thrown so many things that we have to do. And figuring out how to focus and build those plans is really difficult. What advice do you have for leaders who are inundated with so much stuff that they have to do? How do you create that focus?
I tend to use the Brock's and the mayonnaise jar analogy. So imagine you've got a big mayonnaise jar, and you fill it with sand. Okay, now you can't really get anything else in there. It's full of sand. Okay, if instead you take the mayonnaise jar and you put four or five big rocks in it, and then you can pour some pebbles in, and then you can pour some sand in, and then you can even pour some coffee in. So the analogy being, you know, as you're doing your day-to-day job, you have to center on the four or five big rocks. And there will still be time to do pebbles, but these are the four or five things I'm going to focus on and get done, whether that's over the next 3 months or 6 months or year. And some of this other stuff needs to be done, but it's just kind of operations. And if it doesn't happen, you know, the world's not going to fall apart, those sorts of things. So I always center on those. And it can't be more than five, because we just can't. Gets to be impossible.
I think that's super practical and also very actionable, because if you think of it as like, can't be more than five, you've got to pick the most important things, and that's how you're going to achieve your goals. I think that's really helpful for a lot of leaders. In addition, what are some of the mistakes you see leaders make, either when building teams or trying to focus or trying to pick those rocks? What are some of the mistakes that you see people making?
I guess one is, as much as we might talk about big rocks, people do get stuck in the day-to-day and the chaos without finding their personal strategies for pulling themselves up. And I find as leaders, there tends to be on the spectrum of one leader will get too into the details and not delegate enough. And the other side, some leaders are flying too high and don't really know enough of the details of what's going on with their team. My personal strategy for that was, well, hire people smarter than yourself. Know your skill gaps. Like, you don't have to say it out loud to the people if you don't want to, but no, like I'm not creative. I am still that engineer. So if I was going to be CMO and be a good one, I always hired amazing creative people around me. Nothing was going to make me that creative soul. I was the data soul. And then I trust my team, let them do their job. But I always picked like 2 to 4 bigger strategic projects that I would get in the weeds with. Now, you can ask my team whether that's annoying to them or helpful to them. I don't know. But it was my way to stay, to keep a pulse of what's going on, still keep learning, because as we know, everything's changing so fast now. Like if you're flying up here, you kind of miss the changes without getting into everything.
I think that's something that so many people miss and so many leaders miss, is that you get so stuck in the work of the reports, the hiring, the budgets, et cetera, and you start to lose the skills that actually made you a leader in your field and got you to where you are. And so I think choosing 2 or 3 or 4 projects and digging deep into the weeds, and then choosing a team where you feel like they're making up for maybe the lack of skills that you have in certain areas and they're better than you in certain places, is a very smart way to both keep strong skills and manage kind of like the evolution of what's going on. So you've touched on this in a couple different places. You talked a little about your kids. You know, I also am a mother of 3 small children. What advice do you have for women that are navigating all of these ups and downs in their lives and in their careers and trying to figure out what's the best path for me?
One mindset I've had and have tried to share with others is that I do believe as women, we can have it all, but not at the same time. And probably only as a family unit, not as just you. Because there has to be compromises and trade-offs. Part of my advice is reevaluate. Like, it doesn't stay the same. So like, there were moments in our lives where we made a decision and it was 100% because of my career. So BCG offered me to go to Switzerland. My husband left his job and we took the 2 kids and we went to Switzerland. I thought, no way are we doing this. And my husband's like, if you are going to be successful in business, you need international experience. The kids are really little. We should do it now. So that was all about me. In 2016, we realized we weren't really handling the fact that my husband was going blind very well. Like, we were making these little incremental changes, but I'm still traveling the world, working 80 hours a week. So we sat down and we're like, we got to throw it all up in the air, all of it, start over, reset. So I took a much smaller job that was US focused. My team and budget was 1/15th of what I was used to. Like, that was a weird feeling. We got a townhouse that was 5 minutes from the office so I could get back and forth. We hired help. I did a lot more around the house and it saved us. But that decision was all about him. So it changes. I think sometimes it's about you. Sometimes it's about your spouse. Sometimes it's about your kids. And I think what people need to remember is that it's okay that sometimes it's about you. Because I think women aren't doing that often. It's always the kids. It's always the spouse. You know, it could be parents because now you have to take care of your parents. But there are times where it needs to be about you.
I think that is amazing advice. And I don't think that we hear it that often.
Yeah.
Because I think that it's okay, one, to focus on yourself. And it also, life has different stages.
Mm-hmm.
When I had my second and we moved countries and I couldn't necessarily take on a big job like I had before, it's okay.
Yeah. And our careers and our lives need to do this. Yeah. It's almost impossible just to do this ladder climbing and feel good about your entire life.
I really wish that we had more honest conversations like this, because I think it would just also normalize it for people that this is what it's like. Sometimes it's like this.
Yeah.
We have a segment on the show where we talk about something that didn't go well, a cautionary tale, a failure or something like that. I'd love to hear a story about something that didn't work out.
I have several. I guess we all have several, but... But one that's still often in my mind was when I got fired. And I was working for this CEO. He was a founder CEO, relatively narcissistic, bully-like, wanted people to jump when he said jump. And I'm one of these people like, I will jump because you're the CEO, but I need to be heard. There were some things he was doing that I found unethical or close to unethical. What I should have done is said, this isn't for me, and go find another job. That's what I should have done. Instead, I decided I was going to stand up to him.
Wow. Okay.
And I knew he wouldn't like it. I don't know. I had some naive assumptions that you can impact and change these people when you really can't. So I did. He did fire me, as I said, but he knew the thing that would bother me most was he fired the entire marketing team. So I felt really guilty because I did not mean to put them in harm's way. So the next morning, I had them all come over to my house. I'm like, it's not about you. It's completely about me. I apologize. I'll help you all find jobs, which they did. But of course, you know, some people it takes longer. So yeah, it felt like a pretty big failure. He rented space in my head for a very long time.
Wow. I think, though, you know, it's a story on a certain level that we all have of having a toxic work environment, probably staying and doing the wrong thing at some point. But I think it's actually says a lot about you as a leader that you invited everybody over and helped them later find jobs, because that just shows that you're human. And I think that's one of the most important traits in a boss or a leader.
And eventually it's probably good they were all out of that environment anyway, you know?
Last segment we'd love to ask about, what is a piece of media that you can't live without right now? A podcast, a TV show, it doesn't have to be work-related. Love to hear what you're watching or listening to or reading.
This is going to make it sound very old school, but I might as well tell the truth. The thing I can't live without is my physical Wall Street Journal when I first get up.
I love that.
Because it's still the paper, I can skim and read and, you know, flip really quickly. And even the journal now, like, will email you the print version. But it's not, you still can't skim and flip and go back and forth and get a ton of information really quickly. So I just love to start my day that way.
I have also started to return back to books, so I feel you. Jackie, thank you so much for joining us today. If people want to find out more about you, where can they go?
I would probably follow me, connect with me on LinkedIn. That's where I am most frequently. And there's also a link there to my little Brave Bets business that I just launched.
Amazing. So we'll definitely encourage people to check out your LinkedIn, follow you on LinkedIn, and check out Brave Bets. Thank you so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you, y'all.
It was super inspiring sitting down with Jackie today and hearing how she was able to build both a robust personal and professional life. Few things that I learned. First, career paths aren't always linear. There are times where you need to place focus on different aspects of your life, and it's also okay to take permission to focus on yourself. The second thing is about how leaders can set better goals for their team and focus. So her advice on choosing no more than 5 major initiatives to focus on was really, really important for me as a leader and also in the way that I want to lead my teams. And the last thing is about making sure that your skills aren't rusty. Thinking about how do you choose a few initiatives to get in the weeds. I'm excited for you to take these lessons and implement them into your daily lives.
Our next stand-up is in 2 weeks. Before you go, if you found this episode thought-provoking, consider subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. For more information about our conversation or more takeaways to help with all the leadership roles you play, visit monday.com or sign up for our newsletter. Links are in the show notes. We'll see you at our next stand-up.